Actor Mark Rylance has one of those faces you immediately recognize if you've seen Dunkirk or Don't Look Up. Mark Rylance won an Oscar for playing an unflappable Soviet spy in Steven Spielberg's Bridge of Spies. Here's a clip of him alongside Tom Hanks.
Apparently you're not an American citizen.
That's true.
And according to your boss, you're not a Soviet citizen either.
Well, the boss isn't always right, but he's always the boss.
Do you never worry?
Would it help?
That is the voice of one of the most respected stage actors in England. Just call him Sir Mark Rylance. He was knighted in 2017. He also got good reviews this year for his starring role in the film The Outfit. He plays a tailor in 1950s mob-infested Chicago. Actually, check that. Not supposed to call him a tailor. My bad.
I studied for decades to be a cutter. I used to cut on the row.
The row?
Savile Row.
Where's that, North Addison?
It's in London, a quarter of a mile in which the greatest craftsmen in the world all ply their trade. I apprenticed there for years.
The Outfit is a mafia thriller, and it's set entirely in the shop of Mark Rylance's character, Leonard. He finds himself at the center. Yeah, there's bloodshed, but that's all we're going to tell you because you can watch it for yourself. The Outfit was written and directed by Graham Moore, and it's on various streaming services. I spoke to Mark Rylance about The Outfit back in March. I have to say, I was talking to our producer, Emiko. We both watched this, and we both agree you are masterful in playing a master tailor in this film. The unrolling, the measuring, the cutting, the sewing. How hard or how easy was that to pick up?
It's a very, very clever craft that takes quite a few years, if not a decade, to master. So I wouldn't buy a suit from me.
Did you have to kind of observe, the pros for a while?
I did, yeah. There's a street in London called Savile Row. I don't know if there's the equivalent in American cities. Maybe there's a number of them. The cutter is like the architect, and the tailor, who was working downstairs with his wife and daughter, putting the thing together, they're like the project manager on a building site.
Mm, yeah, now just a great scene for this film. This is a thriller, so no giving it all away. But tailoring seems a metaphor. At one point in the film, your character says a suit takes 228 interventions, something like that. A little bit like the central character, you having to craft one story after another to kind of survive in this mob thriller. Do you think of it that way?
Yeah, I think that's how Graham imagined it. He's a very poetic and wonderful writer. He wrote the script and directed it. But it takes a lot of interventions. And I mean, I've been measured many times in the theater for plays and on film sets and stuff, but I've never had a measurement like the one that Campbell, the head cutter at Huntsman is the name of the firm, that he gave me. I mean, it was incredible the things that he was measuring to try and make the cloth fit me uniquely. His eye for detail and his perseverance in making something that when I wear it now, I mean, you feel like you put a skin on. But yeah, there's a lot of planning in it and a lot of room for mistakes and room for adjustments and things like that. And that fits the story quite well, as you know, because you've seen the film, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh, just having to adjust to surviving from one minute to the other. Now, your character, Leonard, knows well that his customers are gangsters. Let's listen briefly to a scene where he talks to his assistant, who is dating one of them.
I do not need you telling me who to date.
I didn't mean it like that.
You meant it like, I saw you smiling at Richie Boyle earlier, and now I'm petrified that you're running with a bad batch.
Those men may be customers, but they are not gentlemen.
Could have fooled me in those nice clothes you make for them.
If we only allowed angels to be customers, soon we'd have no customers at all.
And so your character is smooth throughout the film, The Outfit. Mm. And it makes me think of your character in Bridge of Spies, for which you won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. You're never frazzled. You know, there's this deodorant commercial in the States that says, never let them see you sweat. Is that the real Mark Rylance, the unflappable?
No, not at all. And I think the character does get rather frazzled and certainly sweats at certain times in the story. I'd wish Steve McQueen did or Robert Mitchum did a little bit more, actually. But it's nice of you to say.
I guess you're right. But to me, the control of the character is what keeps you and keeps the viewer. And this whole film takes place in Leonard's shop. And your character's on the screen or just off screen the whole time. How did you handle that?
Well, I like that. You know, I've been lucky enough to be, I don't know, have a certain, I guess, devotion to Shakespeare. So I've led a lot of plays. My favorite thing to do in life is to play act. So if you can give me long scenes with lots of things to do, I'm a very happy bunny.
Yeah. I've read that you say that your character reminded you of your grandfather. Is that right? Did you summon a bit of your inner grandfather to play this character?
Yeah, I was very devoted to my grandfather, who was 55 in 1955 when the film is set. And took a lot of care. Had a single suit, had two suits, maybe a formal evening wear, and had another lovely business suit. He was a banker with the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, my grandfather, and very dear to me. So, I often will focus on someone I know, probably a few people I know, at different times in a part that I'm playing. But I think when you go into these shops, it's almost like the temperature drops, the pace drops. There is a certain sense if we're going to take our time. This is a person who hasn't rushed into a shop and quickly bought a suit off a hanger. This is a person who's devoted time to the way they are dressed. You know, back in the day, a couple hundred years ago in England, if you hurried down the street, it was a sign of hubris and arrogance that you had taken on more in your life than you were able to handle at a natural pace, an easy pace. What they would think of us now, not only hurrying down the street, but eating food and being on the phone, they'd think we were really idiots. But I think people who get these kind of suits and the people who sell these kind of expensive suits to people promote that kind of ease. Everything's going to be easy, sir. You know, you won't have to worry about a thing, that kind of thing.
In this film, The Outfit, you're a eminently decent guy with ties to the mob. In Bridge of Spies, you're a very decent guy who happens to be a Soviet spy. Are you trying to bring some human complexity to what we might reflexively think of the good guys and the bad guys?
Everyone thinks they're good. Everyone thinks they're doing good, aren't they? I mean, sociopaths and psychopaths, who knows what they're thinking because they're not very mentally well. But I tend to take characters who are trying to do their best, are trying to do something good. They may make a hash of it, but they're trying to do their best. I mean, even the character I played in Don't Look Up, who's not a character I agree with in any way, I guess he believes that he's doing the right thing and doing a good thing, yeah. That certainly feels like how you have to play these people, even if you play Richard III. He believes he's right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you are so well known as a stage performer. In fact, I believe we're catching you as you're rehearsing for a play now. What does the stage give you that you can't get from film?
Community. You don't really get community on a film. The crew have a community because they're every day there. And if you're lucky enough to be a lead player, you know, you get included in that community. But as an actor, you're a day laborer. And you're not in the same room with the audience when the story is happening either. So in the theater, you go through things together as a group. And I realized in my 30s, that was why I initially got involved in the theater. The acting was rather terrifying. But being in a group, making something together, making something beautiful and powerful together, that's very enjoyable. I did my first play in January here after 3 years, which is the longest time in my life since I was about 14 that I haven't been in the theater. And the thrill of being in a crowded theater with hundreds of people all focused on the same story, the laughs and the silences and the tears and the different things that happen. And you're in the driver's seat as an actor in the theater with your fellow actors. It's you and the audience, you know, and you never get that in film ever, really. This is not to say I'm unhappy, mind you. I really love being a film actor, too, but it will never be able to provide those two things.
Well, finally, back to this film, The Outfit. What do you want the audience, the viewer, to take away from this? I mean, it is such a ride that we can't say too much about because we don't want to spoil.
Yeah, you're right to call it a ride. It is what those fairground rides that are the thriller, you know, and you get in a little wagon and you hear the engine go and you go through and people jump out at you and things fall in front of you. It's got that kind of craft to it. And it's definitely got a heart, you know, it's definitely got a number of people who are trying to look after young people in a very violent, difficult situation. You know, they're trying to secure the futures of the young people. You know, it's really tricky, isn't it? It's really tricky when you're in a violent world.
Well, it is a great ride in my view. Mark Rylance, Sir Mark Rylance, is in the new film, The Outfit. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks a lot.